Good afternoon. It's really good to be here. Jesus is really excited about you being here. This is his divine appointment with you. Again, we're just sort of taking our time through John, looking at God's love for us, discovering things about God's love for us. Now, understand that I believe the New Testament teaches that the most amazing expression of God's love for us is the fact that he had a dream. And that dream, when he created us, is that he would create a people that would, in Christ, participate in the triune life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, experiencing all that he is and all that he has. And so we see this realized in Jesus. We see Jesus coming in the Gospel of John, just again and again expressing God's wild dream, God's desire, his to bless, the nature of his desire to bless humanity. This is, again, a remarkable, remarkable contradiction to the Jewish understanding. Their understanding of God being this sort of grouchy perfectionist who has a bunch of rules instead, and that he was reluctant to bless unless you got the right number, unless you did everything just right. Instead, he's a heavenly father who longs to bless, who's always longed to bless, created us to bless because it brings him joy to bless. So this is the encounter, this last part of John chapter 1, we looked at yesterday. It blows me away, just his love for Nathanael will make the sixth person that's joined him as a disciple. So it's not completed yet, there's not the 12 yet, but they're halfway there. And what we saw is that Jesus, when he uses the word follow me, literally means the word follow, means to join, to participate in his life. That's the ultimate expression of God's love for us, is that we get to participate in the life of Jesus. And so he sees Peter's heart. He knows who Peter is. Peter evidently desired to live a life of stability and consistency, and Jesus calls him rock. Even though Peter didn't always get it right, in the end he did. So this is the one, I think that's so cool about the Lord. He doesn't stop believing. And then with Nathanael, he evidently saw Nathanael under a tree, and he saw Nathanael praying about wanting to be a man of God without guile. And so when he sees Nathanael coming to him, because Philip's bringing him, he says that about him. And the way the language is that other disciples were standing around, and he says, here is an Israelite in whom there's no guile. And that's when Nathanael says, how did you know me? How did you know that was in my heart? It's kind of like getting a word of knowledge. Somebody gives you a word of knowledge in here, and it's exactly something you've been thinking that morning or praying about that morning. It's so cool. Such an expression of the love of God, that God does that. And then Jesus says, well, I saw you while you were under the fig tree. And so in response to that, Nathanael says, Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel. And I love this, what Jesus said. And Jesus answered and said to him, because I said to you that I saw you under the fig tree, do you believe? You shall see greater things than these. Jesus is basically saying, you believe, the ability to believe is restored to you because I said I saw you under the fig tree, knowing that your heart was to be a man of God without guile. If that's restored belief in you, your believing is about to go through the roof. I think that's one of the sad things about Christians who become cynical as life goes on. We live in a fallen world. And Jesus even tells us, in this world, you will have temptation, you will have trials, you'll have testing. But then he goes on and says, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And so in the context of a fallen world, one of the things that we said last night, there's these verses in Romans that says, those who are believing will not be disappointed. Is that Jesus doesn't get disappointed because he's always believing. He always believes in his ability to deal with any situation. He always believes in his ability to cause all things to work together for good. He always believes that he's sovereign and in control and that he's winning no matter what it looks like the devil's doing. He believes. Jesus was the most childlike person who ever lived. And think about little children, that's why it says, unless you become like a little child, you can't explore the kingdom. is because little children will believe anything. I told some of the fun stories of just the ridiculous things I used to tell Woody and Luke, and they believed everything I said until they got old enough before somebody told them, why do you believe that? Well, my dad. Then they would find out that I'd lied to them all those years because it was fun. But they believe in anything. That's why little children believe in Santa Claus. You know, it's easy to believe because in us, there's built this thing that wants to believe in holy magic, that wants to believe that there's happy endings, that wants to believe that there are dreams that come true. Psalm 126 says that when they came back to the promised land after being in captivity, the Babylonians, he says, we were like those who dream. And yet Christians become so cynical. They believe in what the world says, how the world interprets things. And yet Christ says to this man, and what Christ does with us when we yoke to his life, because he's always believing, is that we are yoked to, grafted into his faith. And we don't live cynical lives. We don't live lives questioning everything. We don't have to try to protect ourselves. That there's childlike wonder restored. We're in union with one who conquered death, risen from the dead. So even in death, which is the hardest thing that the world can throw at us, this fallen world, we don't stop believing. We don't stop believing in happy endings. I don't believe that Livia's life ended. I believe that Livia got totally healed. I believe that Livia's experiencing things she only imagined. She's no longer living by faith, but living in reality. I believe all those things. And I believe that my time on this earth is short, and I believe that I'll get to experience all that stuff too. I remember once when Livia's dad died. I was really sad. They were very close. And then about 3 weeks later, our little dog died. And it was kind of like overload, you know? And Livia was sitting in the den crying. And Woody came up to her. He was really little. And said, Mom, don't be sad. You're going to get to go to heaven one day too. That's the way children believe. So I love it when he says, so you believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree? He said, you're going to see greater things than this. And so for Christians, we should become more and more childlike as we grow older. Even though our outer man is decaying, our inner man is being renewed day by day. There should be this holy optimism, this hope, this confident expectation, this childlikeness that we live in. And it's sad. I'm around clergy a lot. Not our clergy, because all of our clergy are perfect and wonderful. But in other places, other clergy are always that way. It's sad. They define their life by disappointment and betrayal and all kinds of other stuff, which is tragic. But then in verse 51, he explains why. He said, you think that was what you see is great? He said to him, truly, truly. So when Jesus ever said that, it means knock, knock. Hello, McFly. Listen, listen. Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Remember what he just said to him. You believe because I said I saw you under the fig tree. You're going to see much greater things than this. Truly, truly, I say to you, you shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. So, this is Genesis 28. This is Jacob, who's running for his life from his brother, because Jacob stole the birthright, lied about it. He didn't need to, but he did. And Jacob departed from Beersheba, Genesis 28, and he went toward Haran. And he came to a certain place and spent the night there, because the sun had set. And he took one of the stones of the place and put it under his head, and lay down in that place. And he had a dream, and behold, a ladder was set on the earth with its top reaching to heaven. And behold, the angels of God were ascending and descending on it. Verse 27, the Lord speaking to him and says, your descendants or your seed shall be like the dust of the earth. You shall spread out to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. In you and in your seed, which of course we know is Jesus, according to Galatians, shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 16, Jacob awoke from his sleep and said, surely the Lord is in this place, and I didn't know it. And he was afraid and said, how awesome is this place. This is none other than the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Remember what his dream, he saw in his dream, a ladder stretching from earth to heaven, and angels of God ascending and descending. Verse 51, Jesus said, truly, truly, I say to you. In other words, you think that was cool that I gave you a word of knowledge, seeing you under a fig tree. You shall see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Now, Jesus says here something really powerful and simple. He said that he was Jacob's ladder. In Jacob's dream, what he didn't know was he saw Jesus, and he saw angels ascending and descending on Jesus. Jesus appeared in the form of a ladder. And then he says, and in your seed, which we know Galatians says is Jesus, all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. Because in Christ, by our joining him, or by being grafted into his life, Jesus, who is Jacob's ladder, you and I now have been joined to an open heaven. We have been joined to Jacob's ladder. And on your life and my life, the heavens are open. Jesus is the open heaven. And angels are descending and ascending in our life. Now, it takes childlike imagination to understand that and believe that. But it's the truth. This is what he was telling him. He says, you think that was cool? That sparked believing in you? Childlikeness in you? You're going to see the heavens open and the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's going to be your existence. That's going to be your life. You, when he said, when Jacob woke up and he said, wow, the Lord's in this place. He said, this is an awesome place. This is the house of God. This is the gate of heaven. Your life is the house of God. You are an awesome place. You are a gate of heaven because Christ is the gate of heaven and you're in union with him. And what God wants to do is cultivate a consciousness of that, a childlike wonder, not always living based on what comes in the mail or doesn't come in the mail, what they say on the news or don't say on the news, what happened in some video that you watched or saw or this or that, all the stuff. What if we could actually crash through all that and understand what God's done for us, how much he loves you? When Jesus said, join me, he's asking you to join someone who is the ladder, who is the open heaven, who is the gate of heaven, and on your life, because you're in Christ, angels are ascending and descending constantly. What if you believe that? What if you believe, instead of praying for an open heaven, when you walk into Walmart, oh God, we pray for an open heaven, you'll do stuff, God says, you carry an open heaven. Expect signs and wonders to happen. Angels of God are operating on your life constantly. I hear people sometimes say, well, I see angels. Well, you should. They're moving, bringing reality of heaven up and down, carrying your stuff, bringing heaven stuff. There's just, it's happening constantly, every one of us. We give birth to what we expect. Only the expectant give birth to anything. You've heard me say a lot of times. What is your expectation? Do you believe? Has God awakened believing in you? Do you see the way Jesus sees? You know, when I told you this story before, but when I was at the bedside of Livia and we were in the room by ourselves and she couldn't really communicate anymore, and I started to cry, I was holding her hand, it was dark in the room. House was full of people, but not in the room at that moment. And I just told the Lord, I didn't think it'd end like this. And the Lord said to me, almost an audible voice, you're not witnessing the ending of anything. That's to see the way Jesus sees. In that moment, there was an open heaven. There always is, but there were angels descending, ascending and descending. And he said, you're not witnessing the ending of anything. You're witnessing a new beginning, not just for her life, but it's also for your life. Your life isn't over unless I've died and he does. So I'll probably talk about this again a little bit on a Sunday morning at some point, because I know that one of the things that God's wanting me to do is to provoke you to holy imagination, to provoke you to childlikeness, to provoke you to expect the miraculous. Not, I don't mean that just in people getting healed or getting words of knowledge, but just the whole nature of your life being supernatural. Stuff just happens. You're walking in the Spirit. I mean, this things happen. They work out. It turns out for good. It's stuff. I don't have to live complaining or offended. I don't have to live disappointed anymore because he doesn't. I live in an open heaven reality right now. So if I get lonely when I'm at home by myself, well, how can I get lonely? There's all this busyness going on. It's angelic activity, Jesus, and fellowship with the Father, Son, and Spirit happening. I'm a part of it. You with me? When you start believing that, then you become that little child, you know, that is an incredible threat to the enemy. In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.